The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
The shepherds hurried away to Bethlehem and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. When they saw the child, they repeated what they had been told about him. And everyone who heard it was astonished at what the shepherds had to say. As for Mary, she treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was exactly as they had been told. When the 8th day came and the child was to be circumcised, they gave him the name Jesus, the name the angel had given him before his conception.
The Gospel of the Lord.
Still thrown at us Catholics from time to time is the accusation that we worship the Virgin Mary. And of course, when we get a feast day like today, the solemnity of Mary, Mother of God, it can seem like that, but it is not the truth. It's not what the Church believes at all. We honour Mary, as is only her right and just, as the mother of the Saviour. She matters, she is important because of the Son that she brings. But the Scriptures, of course, always hope that we will honour both parents. One of those commandments there, honour your father and your mother. And the bond between mother and child, as you know, is an extraordinary bond. But as in all fields of human existence, there are always difficulties in human relationships. That's part of human sinfulness. So some people's relation with their parents can be difficult. Some find their our father difficult because they say they had a difficult father. Some maybe have problems with Mary because of their mother. But in a sense, that's merely a reflection of the sin of the world. But God's intention is that the father, the mother, be honoured. What's important for us with Mary is that God chose and blessed her in a full and unique manner. That's when the angel comes and said, "Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you." Because he was enlisting her to cooperate in sending us his son. So she says, "How can this come about since I'm a virgin?" And the angel Gabriel tells her. The virginal conception of Mary is actually very important. It's part of what we believe. In a few moments when we say the creed, we say, through the Holy Spirit, born the Virgin Mary. But it's not just a biological statement, but it's because of a consequence of the divinity of the child. And when the Council Fathers in 431, because people were saying Jesus either wasn't human or he wasn't divine, he certainly wasn't one or the other, they'd said Mary is Mother of God because to protect the child. Doesn't that exactly what a mother does? You mothers, you protect the children, of course. But the angel says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, the power of the Most High will cover you with its shadow. Now, the bright cloud had been an expression for God that had been with the people from the days of the Exodus. The pillar of cloud led them by the day. The pillar of fire protected them at night. And so when they hear those words, the bright cloud will cover you, it's expressing something very important. Remember when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up to the mountain and was transfigured. He said a cloud covered them. The cloud, the presence of God. And the angel says this cloud will come upon you. The Most High will cover you with its shadow. God chose Mary and blessed her, which is why we honor her. And St. Luke and St. Matthew, that we're indebted to for much of the Christmas stories, Matthew we shall get next week at the Epiphany, the visit of the three kings on their way, Luke gives us the shepherds and the visit to Jerusalem as the infant baby and all that going on. Both of those writers went out of their way to unequivocally say Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary and of Joseph's non-involvement with that pregnancy. Now remember, both writers, and this Luke was a doctor, so he understood these things. And they knew it would raise medical questions. But the Gospels were not concerned with that. The Gospels are more concerned with proclaiming the gracious mystery of God's encounter with the world, rather than just answering some scientific question that actually it does answer. Because it said the power of the Holy Spirit will do all this. And at the end of that gospel, we're so familiar with it. It wasn't the one we had this morning, of course. Very familiar with the Annunciation. It says, because with God, all things are possible. So we get the answer as well. And the same thing happens at the resurrection. Because when they're writing, the gospel writers, about the resurrection, they tell you the risen Lord. They go to the empty tomb, see the grave clothes, but they don't tell you how it happened. They tell you it happened, and the risen Lord is there, and that's what it's about. They're not the how, but the who. But going back to the virginal conception, it's that story of divine power, because the child is someone who already exists. And that takes us to the third gospel writer, John, who on Christmas morning and other times we get that, in the beginning was the Word. The Word already was in the beginning. He already exists. So Joseph couldn't father a person who already exists. Only God. And St. Augustine sort of sums it up marvelously in a way. He says, if a God had to be born, he could only be born of a virgin. And if a virgin had to give birth, she could only give birth to a God. So the doctrine of Mary's virginity is full of significance, actually, for all time. And it's why the Church gives us that on this eighth day of Christmas, the Solemnity of Mary, Mother of God. Because that divine power which overshadowed her indicated the new sharing in the divine life which enters the world through Jesus, and then he goes on to speak of that for us. And that's why it's got significance throughout history, because here we are 2,000 years on celebrating Mary, Mother of God, but also because it matters. It matters because what he says is, through St. John's Gospel, to all who did accept him, he gave power to become children of God. And that is what we are. There's that lovely reading, and often they're linked with our very last journey in life, which links us with our first. I seem to have spent a lot of days these last year celebrating funeral requiems across the parish. When we come in, blessed with the water, reminding us of our baptism, and that's when we accept him. We accept him, and he gives us power to become children of God. And all the symbols of baptism, our beginning, our birth, as it were, into Christ, are all there on our last journey. And that's why they're so important. And actually why it's not something we make up. It's actually what the Lord's given us. Because he said, you will have power to become children of God. And one of the prayers and one of the readings, when we come in that overnight, very often we come in overnight, it says of how God, who's, think of the love that the Father's lavished on us by letting us be called God's children. And that indeed we are. And one of the other prayers at the end speaks of the fact that whoever it is was a son or daughter of God, adopted by God in our baptism. Now that power that's ours began
to break upon the world at the Annunciation and comes to fullness in Christmas, of course, but also Pentecost, because that's the power of the Most High overshadowing. And the last, as it were, feast in that sense of the Easter mystery is Pentecost, because that power is given to us. And so I suppose in a way, when the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon Mary at the Annunciation, it's almost a sort of anticipating the coming of that Spirit at Pentecost in our life. And that's why today's feast matters, because we're celebrating the power of God that worked through Mary, and we honor her because God said, "Blessed are you among all women." But also that power given to us through our baptism, through our confirmation, through our daily, weekly renewal in the great mystery that is the Mass. So Mary's virginal conception, when you're talking to other people, is a sign of God's power at work, a mysterious sign of her unique blessedness. So therefore we should honor her. And no wonder St. Luke says, Mary treasured all these things, pondered all that was going on in her heart, because she is the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, Mother of the Church, Mother of us all. We are right to honor her above all other creatures.